on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, it is now time for another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, joined as always by my twin brother Andrew Robinson, and we're joined by two Quinnipiac now sophomores, Lewis Courtwright and Tom Muchinery. So thanks for joining us today, fellas.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all, man. Before we get into it, guys, we want to make sure you guys to remind you guys, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, wherever you guys are listening to it at, man. Give us a like on Twitter, on Instagram, man. Make sure you guys are sharing the good gospel of the Auto Bid, man. Tell a friend and tell a friend. And also, make sure you guys are streaming my guy, Pull Up Tay's music. That was him on the intro. It's going to be him and get on the outro. His new project, Life Ain't Fair, is out now, and his music video, I Need It, is also out. So make sure you guys are streaming my guy music, man, and keeping tabs on everything that my guy got dropping, man. But like I said, man, college basketball season is right around the corner. So, you know, we got two young bulls from the MAC, man. Definitely excited to have you guys on today, man. So I want to dive into it. Obviously, you know, some big news dropped yesterday with the MAC power rankings and the all conference teams and whatnot, man. And they snubbed QU, man. You know what I'm saying? They didn't give our Bobcats a lot of love, man. So, Tom, I'm going to start with you, man. I mean, what were your thoughts initially on the power rankings that came out, man? They had Quinnipiac pick ninth. Obviously, you guys are returning a good amount. Both of you guys obviously were on the all-rookie team last year. Also going to get Kevin Marfo and Jake Bergoni. Both of those guys were on the second team, all-MAC preseason poll. I mean, you know, what were your thoughts on the poll that came out yesterday and, you know, how low they had you guys?
I mean, it sort of first was kind of like motivation. We kind of like, as a team, we know where we at and we know what we can do. And I feel like that was just like fuel to the fire, just to, you know, kind of like humble everybody and just like you see how your peers and how the opposing coaches feel about your team. So, I mean, it's just going to help us in the long run. I think it's going to be something we're going to look at the end of the season, be like, so we can say like we proved them wrong. And just like more fuel to the fire. We're just taking it as motivation.
Now, I remember, like I said, I had to go on a record because I seen those the poll, man. I had to tweet out last night, man. I bet $1 million that there's no way Quinnipiac finished ninth. You know, I put that on the record right now. So for me, man, when I saw that, man, I think it was interesting, man. Obviously, I think just knowing the MAC as a conference, you know, playing in that league for 4 years, it's usually very – very close, honestly, from like 2, 3 to 8, 9. So, I mean, Louis, for you going into your second year, obviously playing in the MAC, what was your reaction to the preseason poll? Do you kind of, you know, is that going to give you kind of a chip on your shoulder heading into to year two?
Coming in last year, it was already a chip on my shoulder. I really wasn't even supposed to play. I was supposed to redshirt, and with the circumstances of the COVID year, so they made me play. But just seeing them numbers and seeing what we did last year as a team and then the new additions we got this year was pretty disrespectful to me. And I feel like there's no way we're going to finish probably below 5. Like, we're a top 5 team in the MAC right now, and I could put my life on it.
I love the confidence, man. I love the confidence, man. I mean, both you guys also were, you know, like you mentioned earlier, on the all-rookie team last year. You guys were two of the best freshmen in the league last season. And you guys are both left off of the all-conference teams as well. You know, first team, second team, or third team. I was surprised that neither of you guys, you know, got in love with either of those teams. Obviously, Nelly Jr. Joseph, who was the rookie of the year last year, ended up on the first team. And nobody else, obviously, from that rookie team, was able to make any of the teams, man. So I'll start with you, Louis. I mean, what were your reactions to kind of being snubbed? I mean, I felt like last year you proved that you were one of the better young guards in the conference, man. I mean, what was your reaction to kind of not having your name called on any of those preseason lists?
After hearing Coach say, like, just Jake and Kevin's name, I honestly expected them two to be, you know, where they are right now. for me, it's just all about, you know, just playing hard and making sure that I show everybody what they doubted me for. Like, I always been doubted. Last year, nobody knew what I was capable of. Didn't play a lot in the beginning of the season. Then I showed them what it was throughout the season. So I'm just let them see what it is again.
Now, for you, Tommy, I mean, you were the leading scorer for a little bit there last season, you know, for a lot of the year for quarterback. For you, man, what are you looking to kind of to add to your game this year going into year two? What are you looking forward to kind of stepping into this new role? And, you know, everybody kind of knows who you are now, you know, obviously in this MAC conference. But, you know, kind of just describe, you know, what you're looking forward to for this season coming into year two.
Year two, I always put the team before me first, so – I just want to win, really. And I know defending is definitely one of the things that's going to take us to that point. I think I showed I can defend at a high level last year. And as far as, like, scoring and stuff, I think playing off my shot, I think last year I was a little one-dimensional with, like, just shooting and, like, even contested shots. I feel like now I'm adding another layer to, like, getting in the paint, finishing, being more aggressive and attacking, and also playing off my shot because I still can shoot it. And then building off my shot too, I think I was shooting like close to 40 before like the last 40% complete before the last like 4 or 5 games, and then that like went down. I went on like a shooting slump. So just kind of like repping that every day and just building off everything. I think that's just yeah.
Now, Tamu, man, I got to ask you this, man, because we had Baker and Jake on here last year on the podcast, man, and we spoke a little bit about this, man, but me and you worked out with our guy Jamal.
Oh,
man.
My God.
We worked out with Maul last year in Baltimore, man, and we were doing Maul shooting drills, man. You know how Maul, we be trying to get everybody all gassed and whatnot, man. Let's just say you ain't shooting the ball the best that day, man. That wasn't your best day shooting the basketball, man. I told myself, man, this dude gonna be playing the 5 at Quinnipiac. They have my man setting ball screens and rolling. When I watched the games, my man shooting step back threes, catching the dude. I mean, how'd you go from that time to what we saw in the season, man? I mean, I think, you know, what Big Coach Dunleavy said was he came on campus, he put in a lot of work to change your shot. I also talked a little bit to Coach Goings, who's now at Boston College, and he talked a little bit about he wasn't there. He talked about somebody else, but nevertheless, Coach Dunleavy said that you put a lot of work to kind of change your jump shot when you first got the cannon, man. So, I mean, talk to me a little bit about that, what you went through, you know, to kind of get the jump shot to where it is today, man, and, you know, how you kind of made that improvement in such a short period of time.
I feel like, all right, that day was like, that was a bad day. I'm not gonna lie, that was a bad day. It was, first of all, it was my first time working with Maul. Like, you know, he didn't have a gym for a long time. So I was like working out with other people. So like, it was real inconsistent. Like in the DMV, they shut everything down. It was finding gyms was scarce, for real. So I'll say that was a little bad day, but really speaking, like when I came into college, I wasn't really shooting the ball very well. So I feel like I take everything as a challenge, and I've always been like a hard worker, and I just always try to find ways to improve. So I was just with coaches every day. Like every day he'll like, shout out to Coach Dunleavy, every day he'll work with me individually and show me and give me tips. And I would like just take that and do it on my own. And like that kind of just built my confidence, because I never been like a terrible shooter, you know what I'm saying? Like I always could like shoot, you know what I'm saying? But you know, like I feel like now, like my just sharpening up a little bit of mechanics, I think it like that helped a lot with everything. So I think, yeah, like just hard working hard and stuff like that. But that's always kind of been like my MO. I always accept things as challenges. So yeah, that was about it. But that's funny. I remember that day. I was like, damn, they ain't gonna think I'm trying to this.
That's jokes. Nah, hey, we're gonna have to tell Maul he gotta relax, man, because Maul be wilding with the conditioning and shooting drills and ball handling. You know, I'm gonna let Maul know about that, man. But
now, ask Maul. In the summertime, I was shooting. He couldn't say none of that. He wasn't saying nothing.
It's big bumps.
That's what got Maul though, man.
Thanks. Nah, shout out to my man Maul, 9450 Hoops, man. But Louis, man, I wanna talk to you because you were a guy that committed to Quinnipiac late. And a guy that you mentioned, I mean, you just mentioned how you kind of flew under the radar, you know, obviously from high school coming into college. And then obviously last year starting off the season and not playing. in a lot. But then by the time conference play rolled around, you know, you were one of the guys that, you know, they really went to offensively. Just talk about kind of the progression of your game kind of from high school. And then now, obviously, going into year two, there's no more secrets, no more surprises. I know everybody around the MAC kind of knows who you are now, but just talk about, you know, that whole journey, what that process was like, and then kind of, you know, what it means to be, you know, where you are now.
Before I even committed to Quinnipiac, that's when COVID came around. That's when, like, colleges was, like, backing up. Nobody was really in contact just because they didn't know what was going on with the COVID situation and stuff. So I had to look for, like, the coaches that was with me at that point. Like, and Coach Dunn was one of the coaches that, like, still with me, was talking to me every day and was heavy on recruiting me. He had a plan for me before he even committed here. So I found that really, like, helpful for me and my process, which made me really commit here. And I liked everything that was going on with the coaching staff and just knowing that he had my back fully and he barely knew me. So that's what made me commit here. But, like, as in getting onto campus and stuff and just starting, like, the journey, just being a Division I basketball player, it was hard. Like, the workouts was hard. Everything was hard, especially not being able to, like, be with your team fully every day. Like, the progress was terrible because it was like one group got to go in, then your next group got to go in. But then after when we started getting, like, together, playing 5-on-5 scrimmages and stuff, always had just, like, a clear mind. I always had that mindset where I didn't care what was going to happen. Like, if I'm going to shoot a bad shot, I'm taking it on the chin. Like, this is what I want to do. So I always had a good mindset going in. But after not playing, like, the first couple games of the season and stuff, it kind of, like, messed me up a little mentally. I was getting hurt. But then, like, just throughout the – I just kept playing hard, kept talking to Coach Dunn, seeing what he needed from me and what I had to do for the team. And, like, he always kept me, like, kept my mind in the right place. So after that, like, after noticing what he was trying to do, it made me just play better. I started working out way more. Like, he just always had a great game plan for me that helped me to progress in my game.
Now you mentioned, you know, the mentality that you had kind of, you know, not caring about the shot selection. And that was one thing I noticed about both of you guys last year. You guys were two of the most confident freshmen that I've seen in a while, just in terms of some of the shots y'all would take and just the way that y'all played. But, I mean, obviously it paid off. Both of you guys had great seasons last year. But, I mean, most freshmen don't come into college with that mentality, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'll start with you, Tamu. I mean, what kind of gave you that confidence coming into college and, you know, that allowed you to have the confidence that you did in your first season?
I would say just the work, like getting up in the mornings, like just working out. Like, that just builds confidence in itself. And when you're doing it in practice and, you know what I'm saying, your coach is behind you and you know, like, all right, I could probably, like, do this and not get taken out, or, like, you know, if I can do this, or, like, I can make it up. Like, even if I did mess up, like, I try to make it up on, like, a defensive end or, like, playing hard. I feel like that was one thing they could never take away. So I feel like first this hard work and then just kind of, like, playing hard on both ends, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of, like, can build your confidence and make you, you know, do certain things that some people probably wouldn't do.
You have anything that you wanted to add, Lou? I mean, I remember last year, I mean, there were some games where, you know, you would go out there and go 10 for 12. Next game, you might go 2 for 12, but the thing is going up regardless, man. So, I mean, where did that mentality come from kind of in your game?
Just growing up from high school, like, going into my college years, like, high school, I was always that player that was nonchalant, that was scared to do things, like, freshman, sophomore year. But once my junior and senior year came, I known that I had a big role on me. I remember Coach Dunn, he had us in a Zoom call with Jalen Brunson from Dallas Mavericks. And I remember one thing he said. He was just like, every time you make it to a new level, you end up in step one again. And I tried to tell myself, I don't want to end up in step one again. I want to be a reliable person for my team, for the coach. So I always just had that mindset. I'm not going to go back down to step one. I'm going to stay where I'm at and try to do it at a high level every time.
Now, I want to ask you guys, obviously, you know, with the way you guys both played last year, I think you guys obviously, you know, took the MAC by storm, but took the team by storm as well. I want to ask you guys, I mean, what is it like to kind of have somebody who came in the same year as you, kind of was able to have that success early on, And how are you guys kind of able to kind of be there for each other? Do you guys bounce things off each other? And what are you two, you know, what are y'all relationship like, you know, being those two guys who, you know, were able to come in as freshmen and kind of get it done? So I'll start with you, Louie, and then we'll go to Tamu.
At first, Tamu started starting off early. So, like, he was starting. You know, obviously, I came, it was three freshmen. I came in, me, him, and Bull. And, like, him starting off early, starting for the team, it actually made me pretty excited. It showed me that, like, all right, we got a good three people coming in, freshmen. Like, we're going to do something big. So, him starting off, like, I always, like, had his back from the jump. And me not playing a lot in the beginning of the season, like, he always had my back. He'll always talk to me after games, you know, even in the rooms. He'll let me know, like, don't worry, just try to work hard. You know, coach is doing this for a reason. He's always testing you. So, like, our relationship is good. Like, we probably best of friends ever. Like, me and him. And now we got our new roommate, Desi. So, like, right now it's just, like, we all, like, best friends, like, brothers that you can never ask for. So, like, the relationship with us is just tight, you know. It's always real. It's never no fake stuff going on. Like, he's always going to tell you if he don't like something you're doing, or, like, if I don't like something he's doing, we all going to just take it on the chin and, like, all right, bet, like, I got to do this for him. I got to do this for my team.
I would definitely echo that. Like you said, like, in the beginning, I was kind of, like, he was going through, like, injuries and stuff and not playing. And I tried. And I already knew, like, what Louis was capable of. You know what I'm saying? Like, I already knew how good he was. And I just was trying – I always tried to tell him, like, you know, like, just stay in it. Like, coach is testing you. You know what I'm saying? When you come in, we already know. Like, I already know what you're doing. I got your full support. And I will always, like, always try to make sure I told him that. And he did the same thing with me even when I had some struggles late in the season. And when he was playing really well, like, he gave me the same type of confidence and support. And off the court, like, it's like, we, like, Ace saw us, you know what I'm saying? Like, when he came up, like, we always together, like, we move. Like, if you see me, you're going to see Louis. I mean, now he kind of, you know, he can't really move like we can, but, you know what I'm saying? But when you see Louis, you see me, everybody around campus know that. And, like, we, like, that's, like, my brother for life, bro. So, I mean, I feel like it starts with support. And once you got that connection off the court, on the court, it's easy. You know what I'm saying? We both doing what we love and we both play hard. So when he messing up, I can say something to him. When he mess up, when I'm messing up, he'll say something to me. So it's just that mutual respect and brotherhood.
Now, Louis, you mentioned Desi. And when I was there this weekend, I was really impressed with his game, just kind of, you know, watching, you know, his confidence, the way that he plays. But, I mean, what do you – I mean, for people that don't know about him, obviously nobody's seen him play. I mean, just kind of describe his game a little bit. And what are you looking forward to kind of getting on the court with him this season?
In the beginning, when he first came in the summer session, being like – he was more of like a, you know, offensive threat. Like, he was more of a scorer. He wasn't a true point guard yet. So, like, playing him at that time, it was like – It was good, though. Like, he played his role the right way, and I played my role. Like, being on the team with him was great. But, like, seeing him, like, evolve throughout this, like, offseason and stuff, he turned into, like, a really good point guard. Like, he knows how to get his team set up. Like, he's definitely, like, a two-way player now. And, like, just seeing his growth in just that little bit of time just makes me excited to play with him, especially with me being off this long and just coming back into knowing, like, I got a good, like, I got another teammate that, you know, is good enough to hold down the responsibilities while I'm not out there, or, like, while somebody else is not on the court.
Now, I can remember, you know, back from my time playing for Coach Dunleavy back at Quinnipiac Manors. Obviously, you know, a very guard-oriented system. I mean, you know, we play four out, one in most of the time. And, I mean, even now with Kev, you know, it's almost, you know, five out, you know, with Kev kind of playing on the perimeter, getting a lot of handoff actions. But for those who don't – who, you know, may not watch Quinnipiac or may not be familiar, you know, with the system, kind of talk to us about kind of just the system and kind of, like, what you guys like about it, you know, and kind of just the things that I guess you've been able to take advantage of from the guard and the wing positions, Tamu.
First, when I was recruited there, they play, like, honestly, like, even, like, the past players said, like, they say we play way different than when other people were there. Like, when I was watching the games and stuff, because I kind of committed early. I committed around September. So I was able to watch the games and stuff. And they were playing, like, zone all the time, shooting, like, a whole bunch of threes, not really, like – intense, like on the defensive end. And I think like Coach Dunleavy, to his credit, like brought in players that kind of like can kind of like do a little more, like play like more versatile. Like, you know, we play man now. Like, we don't even play zone anymore. Like, we can start pressing. We still shoot threes, but we're kind of like attacking the paint. We're doing a lot of different stuff now. So I would say it's just kind of like, I wouldn't say like a new era, but like we're starting to evolve and become like all as one, like just evolving with different things.
I will say, when me and Ace were there, we ain't played that much zone either. We used to
play that up. All right, and that must have been one year.
Yeah, yeah. That was the year after we left. They started trying out that 2-3 zone. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened when we left. Dudes got, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm going to let them handle that. But, you know what I mean? We strapped up. We was there though. My man Alchi, Chase, my man Dooley, you feel me? We was grimy. So I don't know.
Now, you mentioned Drew a little bit, you know, obviously getting Kev back. Obviously this year, you know, Kev obviously is back from Texas A&M. Guys get Jake obviously back for a fifth year. Tyrese Williams is back. Obviously, he's averaged about 8-9 points a game for his whole career. You guys got Savion and Matt. And then you guys obviously took in a bunch of new guys like Desi. And also you guys are going to get Elias King, Elias back who – I'm sorry, Elias – who didn't play last year, obviously, with the concussion, going to be eligible to play this year. I mean, so talk a little bit about your team this year, the guy that you guys brought in, also, as well as the guy that you have returning, and, you know, what it's been like kind of making the transition, kind of obviously last year you guys had Seth, who was, you know, this 7-foot defensive anchor. Now you guys have Kev, who's, you know, more of a guy out in the perimeter that's handling the ball, getting to action. I mean, so talk about, you know, the team you guys have in general this year and what it's been like kind of getting adjusted, you know, to some of the new guys, but as well as, you know, some of the guys that you guys are getting back as well. Let's start with Louis.
So last year, like a couple games at the end of the season, we were trying the five out system. Like, so they was playing Jake at the five most of the time, and like it was really successful. And like us guards, we really liked it because it just creates a lot of space for you to work out. And like if you know you got a shooter like Jake outside the three, it's like somebody can't leave that corner. So it was great. Like the offense was great. We was winning a lot of games like that. So going into this year, we kind of already knew what it was. Like getting Kev back, we knew like Kev wasn't coming back as a real life big man. He was coming back as like a stretch 4-2, like a stretch playmaker. So the team really was like happy because we like the offense. We like playing free. We like playing fast. We don't like slowing down. And we got a lot of players that could do that. Reese, Savion is a real good player off the breaks. Matt's a good shooter, great attacker, great practice player for us. Everybody plays their role in practice. Like, we all go hard. Like, there's a lot of competition in practice. It's never easy every day. Like, a couple practices, you might see a blue team win, but the next practice, next, like, four practice days, you might see the gold team win. So, it's, like, it's great competition, as in, like, people playing for spots and people, like, still having that respect for each other.
I think that's interesting for sure. You mentioned, you know, late last year, so I want to kind of talk. I want to go back to the MAC tournament, and you know, me and Ace were at that game versus Iona down there in Atlantic City. But just talk about that game versus Iona, kind of what you took from that game, and kind of if you were able to kind of, you know, if you took anything from that game into the season, if there is there anything that you learned from your first MAC tournament experience, what was it? You know, we'll start with Taimu, and then we'll go to Louis.
I would say first, like, just talking about the MAC, the game, how it went for me, how I thought about it. I just think we just, like, if you look in the first half, like, we're playing pretty good defense. We're getting stops, and it was pretty close. And then we just couldn't get it flowing on offense and just, like, not making really good adjustments to their switching and stuff like that. So I feel like I took from it because I didn't play really well. I thought that wasn't really a good game for me. I just took as just like when times I kind of felt like at the end we kind of like felt the game loose and we kind of just like put our heads down. I think now I just learned from it, just always keeping your head up. You always have a chance to win, especially with basketball, and never kind of take it for granted, because even though it's a long season, when that season ends, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm watching every game on Synergy, watching all the film, like, damn, you know what I'm saying? What could I have done better? Or I could have done this, you know what I'm saying? So always maximize your time and maximize everything when you're out there, your effort. So I think that was number one thing that I learned that I'll take it for granted.
Yeah. How about you, Louis? How do you reflect on your first MAC tournament experience?
It was definitely rough because that was my first time on a big stage like that. And that was like the first time around fans like throughout the whole season. So it was like, it was really a brand new seat, like a brand new like scene for me. But just playing on that court, it just showed me like how great it feels to be there and just to keep playing there. And like just seeing another team win the championship that you lost to in the first round is just like, it humbles you to really like be like, that should be me, that like we really got to work. And like just going out throughout the game, we wasn't the better team at that point. We was just more laid back. Could have been better, but like after the game, you see like you start talking about like, damn, this is the end. This is what it is. Like I remember at the end of the game, me and Tom, we came together. We said we're not doing this again next year. We won't be out this early. So like just always having that memory and just knowing like, all right, now this year is all work. Like we're not coming to lose in the first round. We're not coming to lose in the second one. We're trying to go far. We're trying to like do something for the program.
Now, you know, this year, obviously you guys are going to have a great chance to do that, you know, with the guys you guys have returning and the guys you guys brought in as well. I mean, what do you think is going to take, you know, like if you just put one thing like, all right, if we do this, if we do X, Y, and Z, you know, we'll be cutting down nets in March. I mean, what do you think that you guys have to accomplish this year on the court in order to get that done? We'll start with Tamu.
I would just say execution. Last year, I mean, you can make all the excuses in the world, like, all right, you got two new guys starting or COVID year, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, everybody's playing basketball, you know what I'm saying? I feel like last year we showed signs of us executing really well, but you know, it just wasn't there, especially at the end. And at the end is where it counts the most. So I feel like just execution, just everybody being locked in on both ends of the floor, everybody talking, everybody in cohesiveness and just like really like locked in and executing. I feel like that will take us over the hump for.
Anything to add, Louis?
Just playing defense and limited turnovers. I feel like if we play great defense and limit turnovers, no team in the MAC can stop us at least.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about Coach Dunleavy because obviously this is going to be, I believe year five, you know, for Bakes. And, you know, it's definitely interesting to see it all come full circle because I was at his press conference, you know, when he first got hired. And, you know, obviously now you guys are kind of like Tamu mentioned, kind of the new era. And he's kind of the older dude now in year five going in. But just talk about, you know, just playing for Coach Dunleavy, you know, what he's like as a coach and kind of what he's kind of instilled in you guys, you know, thus far during your time at Quinnipiac. We'll start with Louis and then we'll go to Tamu.
Like I said, Coach Dunn welcomed me to the family really early last year. Like he was one of the coaches that dug it out with me throughout my commitment process. And like, just even till now, like Coach Dunn always checks on me. He's always talking to me. He's always teaching you how to like, just keep your head on the swivel. Like he always wants you to know it's wartime and he's preparing you for the worst moments of your life. And, you know, just being able to, like, overcome them situations, he always puts you on, like, times in practice, you'll fall real hard and you'll stay down for a little bit. He'll be like, no, get up. If you're injured, go to Sarah. But, like, get up if you can play. So just always having that motor, just, like, next play. I got to do this for him. Like, he wants me to be this better player. Like, I'm going to do it for him. Like, he always teaches us how to just be the better versions of ourselves.
Now, y'all don't got to say nice stuff about him. You know what I'm saying? If you know what I'm saying? If y'all want to say, you know, what's on your heart, you know, I promise you.
We need a funny Bake story, man. We need a funny Bake Dunleavy story, man. So,
It's too many, man. Like,
yeah, we need one, man. We need one for the pod, man. We need one for sure.
Oh, man. Tamu probably got one. I don't know.
I'll first answer the question first. I feel like he kind of like saw Coach Biggs definitely like saw like a vision for me that I didn't really see at first. And sometimes I got like frustrated, like he was pushing me real hard. And he like pushed me to a certain extent where he wants me to go farther. You know, sometimes, you know, you kind of like, as a young player, you kind of think, all right, I'm doing this, you know what I'm saying? I'm rookie of the week. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Why is he on me this much? But I feel like he has, like, another goal, another – he sees another that untapped potential that I have. And I thank him for that, for pushing me that hard. And I don't think I – in my basketball experience, I don't think I was ever, like, coached that hard. Maybe at AAU kind of, but definitely Coach Biggs is definitely a mentor for me and someone I appreciate. I'm trying to think of a story, though.
It's only one thing I could say about Coach Dunn that actually had me rolling one day.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
He hopped in the drill. Look, my man's hopped in the drill to demonstrate. Yeah, rip through. Brendan McGuire guarded him. Lay me.
In the practice.
Nah, I saw that clip. Remember they put it in the group chat, Drew. He laid somebody at the rim too.
Yeah, he laid. Oh, I'm not trying to put names out there. We're not gonna do that, you know what I'm saying? But and it was crazy. We was like practicing before our Canisius game, and the coaches was in. And it was one of those things where you can't get too it. You can't get too happy because you're going against the coaches. So I was like, and they're like, it's not funny. It's not funny. All the coaches is going crazy. The
thing is, we laid it down later that night, and somebody going to send the video to the group chat with the woofy sign in the back of the I don't know if anybody showed Coach Dunn that video to this day, but.
Yo, man, find that bit.
Yeah. Somebody got to resurface that video because I need to break down the film on that to see what happened.
He jabbed somebody out their shoe.
He jabbed into the fake pass with the left, too.
Yeah, yo.
They didn't know Coach Dell had them Ivy League offers, man. He's a dog.
We had to check Rock after, like, yo, hold on. We got to run that back. Like, now you got to check me or something. I got to get my look back somehow, some way.
But the funny thing is, like, the person he scored on just started smiling after, like nothing happened. I'm not gonna front, Coach Dunn. If you watching this, that's on the backboard.
I'm blasting that. He's not.
None of that.
None of that going on. Hey, listen, I love it, man. I gotta ask y'all too, man. When I was there, you know, we had some decent eats, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we had to bake the baked salmon, you know, the herb crusted salmon from Eli's. I don't know if y'all still eating that now or not, but talk to me about the food, man. Like, what's the eating like over there? Did Big step his game up with the budget? Like, y'all still eating the Eli's pregame meal? What's the road food looking like? Like, what's going on, man?
I'll let Louis answer this one.
Man, I'm a picky eater, so
bro, you know, picky, bro.
I don't really eat anything, so like, yeah, you know,
the same, Drew. I came to the update. Hey, look, after the Lord Young, Chick-fil-A nuggets, spicy sandwiches, the regular sandwiches. It's the same Joe, man. The same Joe. You feel me, man?
I don't like Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, man.
You know, it gets to that point where it's like you don't have it too much. Like, you know, you can't eat it that much, man. Especially Chick-fil-A holds a special place in people's hearts where you got to go get it yourself. And, you know, that's when it hits different with the milkshake. They don't even get the chicken tenders. We usually get the chicken tenders when we go, but we get the nuggets here. So it's like, it's not the same. But, like, you know, we grateful for the food we get every day.
Let me ask you this then, man. What's your favorite spots to eat around campus, man? Cause I know y'all have found some sneaky little food spots around
Hampton. Oh, yeah. Me and Louie got this seafood spot in New Haven, Cajun Boil. We got the little bag seafood, crazy.
Yeah.
That's the best. Different. I like Sandra's too. I like Sandra's. Louie don't really like Sandra's like that, but I like Sandra's too. He's really picky, bro. Like,
I'm picky, so like it don't matter what the food is. It's just like
bro, this man orders corn and they don't have corn on the cob. He orders regular. This was his
personal
order.
Weight. Was like, in my defense, like, I thought it was corn on the cob. So I wanted corn on the cob with some, like, you know.
Don't get the yams, the mac and cheese,
collard greens.
That's what I said, bro. My joint, I get the smothered bell barbecue ribs with the mac and cheese yam. Come on. Double mac.
You see,
and the lemonade.
He's real cultured. He's cultured. Like, I got it.
You're from New York. What you eat? what you eat? New York slice all day? Like, what you, like, what's up with you, bro?
I could take it.
Nah, he wild. You see, he out of pocket.
Yeah, but it don't matter. It's that Cajun spot. I'm telling you that. See,
not a Cajun spot like that, bro.
Yo, you be eating your food, you're going to be sweating in tears like just dying.
Nah, we went recently. We went like a couple days ago, bro. I was in there about to drink the juices out the bag. Like, it was crazy. Like, yo.
That's when you go to seafood spot fired. I went to a seafood spot in Charlotte where with Derek and them called Yummy's Crab. Hey, yo, the food was gone. I got my finger in the bottom of the bag. That thing was smacking, bro. I'm telling you.
That sauce hit different.
Sauce go crazy, boy. I'm telling you.
Crab legs, shrimp, corn. And they peel the shrimp for you. Yeah, they treat you
good. Peel the shrimp for you?
Yeah, you got to pay more extra for that.
That's elite.
All right, so hold on. So I need to hear this from both of y'all, man. We'll start with Mr. Picky Eater Louie. You walk in the calf, right? You can go York or Maine. Like, what's your order? What's your order? You go in the calf.
If I go in Maine, all day breakfast. I'm a breakfast guy. You got to get that all day breakfast. You get them pancakes. A cinnamon French toast with some bacon. You know, Maine and York is different. So, like, on Maine, you only get like French toast and like bacon, but like on York, you get French toast, bacon, pancakes, scrambled eggs, everything. So like it's different. Like when you on Maine and York, you know, but the breakfast on both places is fire. Breakfast is my thing. I wish they had all day breakfast every time up here.
How about you, Tamu? What's your meal?
Yeah, that on Maine, I had it today. Like four French toast, bacon, eggs with little eggs with cheese.
And they give you the little powder to put on the French toast.
If I'm on York, I could probably get the pizza. I get the pizza. I get the quesadilla. I get the chicken quesadilla. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to go get it.
I was definitely a pizza boy. I was sick they had a pizza joint open when I went to York the other day. That hurt my heart, man. A pizza joint, man. You know, one thank you guys for coming on today, man. So, obviously, you know, I wish you guys best luck this year. You know, me and Drew going to be tuned in, man. Take care of my guy Bates for me, man. Also, my guy Harks, man. Make sure Harks don't choke none of y'all out this year, man. You know what I'm saying? But thanks for coming on, man. And best luck to you guys this season, man.
Appreciate it. No problem, bro. Thanks for having me, bro.
No problem at all, man.
And Louie, man, I'm gonna pray for you, dog. I'm gonna pray for you. Maybe going to Sanders again, corn, bro. I mean, come on now, dog. Come on, man.
Bro, you're missing out, bro. That's
yeah, look, man. One day I'm gonna try something.
Go ahead, yeah. We gotta put them onto the racks. So you go to York, you gotta get the deep fried rack. I know it's not the healthiest, but deep fried rack.
Drew, you're going too deep in the bag.
My fault. Hey, look, man. I'm gonna get y'all a gym. I'm telling you. Go to the black homies that be from New Haven on the York Hill cab. They'll get you right. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You'll have something that it can't nobody else get, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, man, this has been another episode of the Auto Bin, man. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, man, make sure you got a stream on my guy, Pull Up Tay's music. This is going to be him on the outro. So, until next time, folks. You beating on me. It's time to get a check, boy. On the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take your last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.